After years on the road, Timmy parked the van and picked up the mic to bring you this podcast that features interviews with people from hardcore to hair metal. This is Talk To Me with your host, Joshua Toomey.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Talk To Me. This is episode 86, and on this episode, I speak to Jimmy Bauer. You know him from I Hate God, Superjoint, Down, COC, Crowbar, pretty much every single band ever out of New Orleans. And also on this episode, I have a co-host, Mr. Mike, formerly of Off Our Meds podcast. He's about to do some wonderful things on his own, but what's going on, Mike?
Not much, man. Thanks for having me on.
Anytime, sir. So, moving on to the Jimmy Bauer portion of the show here.
Nice. Your Jimmy Bauer interview. Huh?
Yeah, let's talk about. So I go to the show and I did the Dez interview in the car, like from last week. We've heard that one from last week, and then this week, you know, I was standing in line behind Mr. Mike here.
Yeah.
Waiting to get in for my interview, and they're like, "All right, he's ready." And I walk in, and you guys are still talking. And another one of the handlers walks over and tells the tour manager and myself, he wasn't recording, so he had to start over.
Actually, that was Sean from Childbite, and like the whole time I was in there, I kept thinking that guy looked familiar. Because he was sitting across from Eric and myself. And I just couldn't put my finger on it until, you know, later on when he came out on stage and opened for Superjoint. But yeah, that was an interesting experience. I actually had a great conversation. It was like I kind of had some notes, had some questions. And
what kind of questions were you asking?
Well, you know, I've had some notes going in, and I'm a big Down fan. Here I am at a Super Bowl asking nothing but basically Down questions. And, you know, I went off the first couple, man, like off of my notes. It was just flowing back and forth. I mean, he's a good dude, man. And
yeah, he was solid.
You know, yeah, and it was just kind of a regular conversation. And just, you know, when you're in that, you know, when you're in that, whatever you want to call it.
In the zone,
there you go. When you're in that, you know, you start talking and you start coming up with better questions and other stuff that you've always wanted to know. So it kind of went back and forth. And then next thing I know, we're about done. And I look down and I'm like, something doesn't look right on this recorder. Well, when I had first turned it, kicked it on and we got going, it armed like the onboard mics as well as the mics that we were using. And I was like, man, that's probably going to sound like shit, you know? So I just pressed the button to turn off those. Well, if you own a Zoom H5 and you go to do that, or you just got one and you're not really sure, if you turn it on and everything's armed and you go and I'm like, well, I want to use these outboard mics and not the onboard mics. If you go and turn those off, it kicks the recorder back in standby mode, just so you know.
I will know that from now on.
Yeah, and there went my Jimmy Bauer interview, but whatever.
And it was all podcast gold, I bet.
Yeah, it was, you know, I wouldn't say it was podcast gold, but it was pretty much everything I wanted to ask him, you know?
Yeah.
And he was cool about, you know, I'm in there, you know, everything's going good, and their road manager, tour manager, whatever you want to call her, just comes in and she's like, I look over and yeah, we're wrapping it up. And I knew you were out there waiting to get in and ask him our final couple questions. And I noticed that and I'm just like, shit. And he's like, well, hey, man, it's not recording. I'm like, man, this fucking thing. And he's just like, well, hey, man, let's do it again. And I'm like, I know you're out there, and I know it's just awkward. You know what I mean? It's it's like, fuck it, man. So we got through a couple questions, and he's like, well, we can meet up and do it later, or set up a Skype, you know? Yeah. So we'll see what happens. I mean, he could have been pissed. He was cool about it. So
no, he was super cool about it. You know, even when I sat down, I made a joke about how I was going to hit record, and he was like, "Oh, the podcast guys are, you know, giving each other shit." So you know, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun to sit down with Jimmy. And the other thing, I don't know if you noticed this in your interview or not, but as we were talking, him and I talked about Hank Williams Jr. and then about the next song played came over was a Hank Williams Jr. song, like, because there was music in the background.
Yeah.
And we're talking about Phil, we're talking about Pantera, and then like Cemetery Gates comes on. And it didn't even really hit me until after we were wrapping it up and we were saying something else and like another song played. Like it was almost like Big Brother was watching what do you call it? One of those Amazon Echo things or something is picking up what we're talking about and playing it as we're speaking. And it was actually like the more and more I think about it, the more creeped out I get about the whole thing.
Yeah, man, that stuff is kind of creepy, man. I mean, you never know. You know what I mean? You never know if that's what picked it up. I mean, there's times I'm looking up something. My wife and I were just talking about it the other day. She was looking up something or she was talking about something. And next thing you know, she's on her phone, and it's like every ad she's getting on her phone. Right. It's just like what she was talking about.
Well, that's what's fucked up. I know you don't have Facebook, but the Facebook is really...
What is that?
You know, it's like MySpace, but newer. But
okay.
If you Google anything on your phone, the next thing you know, you'll be scrolling through your Facebook feed, and like right in the middle of it, it'd be a Amazon.com for blah, blah, blah. And you're like, Jesus Christ, man, this whole...
Even if you wipe out, you know, if you just go through and delete everything, it still just comes up. Yeah, I have that all the time, and I'll look up. I was looking up that piece of shit recorder I was using the other day, and now what's the worst part about that is now it's like it keeps popping up on my phone, and it's like, there's no way I'm gonna buy that because I borrowed it from somebody. So it's like, there's no way I'm gonna buy that thing now.
I don't think that was the recorder's fault. That was user error. That wasn't recorder's
it
fault.
It was. Well, it was a little bit. It's 50-50, man. It was 50-50.
Oh, that's such bullshit. All right, we'll get into the Super Joint show in a little bit more after our Talk To Me cover of the week. This week, we're going to go with some Anthrax. You like Anthrax, Mike?
Yes and no.
Oh, well, what's the yes?
I don't even know where to start on that, man. It's like they get up and going, and then they, like I was telling you before we started, when we were talking about this, I've always was more of a Joey Belladonna fan.
All right.
And you know, they switch singers, and I like a lot of stuff they put out, but it seems like every time they put out like a great album, it's followed by like a piece of shit to me. You know, right. I know a lot of, yeah, I mean, it's just always the same. Like, I'm a huge worship music fan, but then like this last album comes out, and I'm not gonna call that album a piece of shit because it's not. But it's just I don't really feel like it was finished.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So,
well, my thing with Anthrax, I'll give you this: is when I got into metal, which was early '90s, you know, late '80s, early '90s, I was into the Big Four. But I was, but Metallica, Megadeth, and Slayer are all very serious metal bands. And I saw the humor, like Anthrax was almost a joke to me, because by the time I got into metal, you know, 90, 91, I mean, they'd already moved on to John Bush. And, you know, The Sound of White Noise, I think, is a great album. But
yeah, it is.
But you go back, for me to go back as a young kid and listen to the early Anthrax stuff, which, you know, some of it here and there was really, really good. But then there's also so much humor and goofiness and you know, wearing jams and, you know, the hat.
You're not a fan of I'm the Man?
I am now. I mean, I was into it then, but it wasn't, I didn't take it serious. I liked the song, but it wasn't something I took serious at the time. So, and you know, with, you know, Indians and all that nonsense with that big old Indian headdress it was almost too comical for me. And I was, you know, I could, in the Big Four tour, I could have, you know, you could have left Anthrax at home and taken out a Testament or someone else. And I would have been much happier with that than calling them part of the Big Four.
Okay. So you're not sitting in your house right now wearing a pair of jams and some high tops, right?
I'm not going to tell you that if I am, but I might be. Ooh. I might just sleep in those. I might sleep in jams. And and what's fucked up about this whole thing is I had jams. Like, I wore jams in the 80s. Like,
we all did.
Right. I mean, yeah, we all did. But I'm just saying it. So it's not like But I think that's maybe why I saw it as humorous, because I was like seven and like my grandmother made me my jams. So
yeah, grandma made jams.
Mama could make some mean jams. She probably still could too.
Send me a picture of those.
Hey, if I find a picture of me and some jams, I'll post it on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, wherever you are on the internet. I don't know. You're probably on something that's the future of the internet. You're on the next.
That's
internet.
Right.
You're on the internet too.
I stay ahead of the game, man. I passed up that Facebook stuff.
Oh man! So what did happen? Like, did you have MySpace?
Yeah.
All right. So you had MySpace, and you're digging MySpace, and then Facebook pops up, and you're just like, man, I'm good with MySpace. But then,
no, I don't. I just gave, you know, when that shit went away, I don't know. I didn't just, I don't know what to tell you, man.
But you're on Twitter and Instagram, so it's not like.
Kind of. I guess I check my Twitter like maybe once a week anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't use it for much. And then I used it for like, I don't know, like my updates and music news or whatever you want to call it. And anymore, it's just like I get my info and news from other sources. I don't know. I just don't really go to it much anymore.
Yeah. Well, so that's my thing with Twitter is it looks like gibberish to me. I'm sure you can look at it. It looks fine, but it's so scatterbrained and weird links and stuff. And it just like, so I'll look at it and kind of scroll through it. And very rarely will I find anything, but it's so funny listening to other podcasts and especially like more famous people podcasts, where they talk about Twitter like all the time, and I don't know why that's such a crazy tool for people to use to communicate.
I don't know, man. Most of the time, if I scroll through there, if there's like a link connected to somebody's tweet or something that you can actually click on and go and actually see like a full story or something like that, that's usually kind of what I look at, and the other stuff is just kind of. I'm like you. I'll just scroll through it. I'm just like, that makes absolutely no sense right. to me. Yeah, it's like I got to learn the English language, the updated English language all over again.
Nice. All right, so back to Anthrax. Did we go with the bad? So what was the good? Did we go with the good yet?
Man, there's a lot of good with Anthrax. You know, I can't shit on Anthrax. It's just they're like one extreme to the next with their albums, to me anyways, you know?
Right.
And there's some good songs on their new album, but was it For All Kings?
Mm-hmm.
But as an album as a whole, coming from worship music, which I thought was, you know, a masterpiece to me, basically for Anthrax, you know?
Yeah.
And I've played that album. I still listen to that all the time. And I was pumped for this new one and just kind of let down a little bit. Just feels like it was maybe rushed or something a little bit, or you know,
nice.
Probably have all your listeners screaming at me right now, but whatever.
No, that's all good. I remember the one time, I'll give you one rubbing elbows with people, but on the Stomp 442 tour, we were downtown at downtown Nashville. It was some crazy bill, like Cannibal Corpse and Life of Agony and Anthrax. It was, you know, they were definitely in a low point of their career. And I was standing around back talking to some of the guys in Life of Agony. And I just happened to be standing like right next to Scott Ian. And I didn't have anything to say to him, but I still wanted to acknowledge the fact that I was standing next to him. So I kind of just looked over at him. I'm like, hey, you're Scott Ian. He's like, yep. I was like, cool.
So,
and that was all we said.
So he was at least like cordial to you. He was like nice.
Yeah, he wasn't a dick. I mean, but it's not like I wasn't like, oh, that's my God, you're Scott Ian or something like that. It was just more of a.
You're the first person that's ever told me that.
Well, I mean, I don't think he thought I was coming at him as a fan or anything else other than we just happened to be standing next to each other. It wasn't like I was running after him. You know, it wasn't Meet the Beatles or anything. Like I was chasing him down the street, but we were just hanging out and I just happened to see him. So yeah, it was totally just about as random as you get. But this is going to be some Anthrax covering She by Kiss. Let's do a little bit of Kiss. How much do you love Kiss?
A lot. That's all you need to know.
Man, Kiss was my gateway to metal. Like it was my gateway band into any kind of hard rock. Like I love Kiss.
Anybody in our age range that listens to what we listen to,
yeah.
I mean, you know, that's a gateway for everybody, man, whether they want to admit it or not. And that's a great cover. That's one of my favorite Kiss songs.
Yeah.
So
when I got into Kiss, I didn't even get into like non-makeup Kiss. I got into makeup Kiss even in 87, 88. You know, I was 9 years old.
Well, they were still makeup Kiss.
Well, they were pretty makeup Kiss, you know, cute.
Yeah.
Want to make out with them, makeup Kiss. But
everybody made a big deal about them taking their makeup off, and all they did was go from black and white to
beige,
you know,
and rouge.
Yeah.
A little bit of pouty lipstick. But yeah, I used to watch like Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park, and like, man, this is a great cinematic movie, you know.
Oh,
and
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I was loving it. Even when what is that, Kissology 2 came out, and that was part of it. I was stoked to the fire. But so for the Talk To Me cover of the week, brought to you by puckhockey.com, and that's PUCKHCKY. Mike, have you ever headed over to puckhockey.com to check out their great things over there?
No, I haven't. But I have gotten a shirt from you. Though.
There you go.
It's pretty rad. So.
Nice Puck Hockey swag. And I'm sure I've given you stickers and everything else because they've been so great to the podcast, sending me so many wonderful shirts. Like, I'm pretty sure my wardrobe is half Puck Hockey shirts, half, you know, like Metallica shirts in that order. But, so head over to puckhockey.com, PUCKHCKY. Check out all the great things they have over there. They've got 36 crazy fists. They got some new lines over there with Head PE and Doyle. They've got sweatshirts.
Nice.
They've got flannels, hoodies, beanies, hats, stickers, pretty much everything you would ever want. And it's cold outside, so you need some new clothes and you need some warm clothes because I think it's about to snow. I think the snow's coming. That's what I keep hearing. But head over to puckhockey.com, PUCKHCKY. Shop till you drop. Use the promo code TALK, as in talk to me, for 10% off your entire order. Yes, the promo code TALK, as in talk to me, for 10% off your entire order. So here's Anthrax with She.
Hey, everybody, this is David Ellison from Megadeth, and you're listening to the Talk to Me podcast.
All right, that was Anthrax with She for the Talk to Me cover of the week. What do you think about that cover, Mike?
Man, you can't go wrong with that. I mean, She, Kiss, Dressed to Kill, it's my and that's my favorite Kiss album, so.
Nice.
And Anthrax, if one thing Anthrax does do well is cover songs.
Absolutely. I'll give you that. I'll give you that. You know that one song, Got the Time? That's my jam.
Yeah.
I was actually kind of bummed out when I found out that that was actually a cover song.
That was the cover? Yeah.
I was like, this is the greatest bass line slash song ever written, and then you find out it's a cover, and you're like, oh, well, there you go, Anthrax. But on to the Super Joint show, and we'll talk a little bit about maybe some Phil side projects, too, while we're talking about it. But, you know, getting this, the latest album, there's something about Phil side projects that just never really truly... like wet the palate of being a Pantera fan. Like, you know, I think maybe I just want it to be Pantera over and over again, and which it's not. It's never. It's, and I guess it's never gonna be until, you know, until that day that Phil needs to pay some bills and he hires like a crazy slick producer or something. But, you know, even with Down and you know, the Superjoint record, they all have kind of like a muddy recording quality, and it always kind of irks me because you know you're looking back to the Pantera stuff. I mean, you know, that's some of the most precise metal you've ever heard. So what's your take on Superjoint and Down and his side projects?
Well, as far as Phil and his sound, side projects, I'm a Superjoint fan. I'm more of a Down fan, as you know, and that's why most of the questions I ask Jimmy were Down questions or, you know, just Down conversation. But I like Superjoint, man. I go with, as far as Phil and his side projects, like I said, I go with Superjoint and Down. And there's like 15 other fucking bands that he does. And I can't keep up with them, man. Like the last one, Scour, is that what it is?
Scour came out.
Yeah, I've heard some of that, and some of it, man, it's just, you know, it's a blow your hair back kind of shit, you know what I mean? It just comes on, it's right. Like, I don't know, man. He just stays busy. I'm out, you know, he's got a lot of stuff he wants to say and a lot of stuff he wants to put out there, and you know, he's all about it. You can't knock him on that, so he's ready to put out shit whether he makes money on it or not.
Right, and that's one thing that blows my mind, and I think that... When Chris Akin was on the show, we kind of talked about this, but you know what keeps Phil from getting a band together with Rex and Zakk Wylde and, you know, whatever drummer out there, and just, you know, putting out the slickest record possible that's, you know, going to reach the most fans, you know, the most Pantera type fans.
Yeah,
you know, maybe that album will come one day, but I mean these albums that he continues to put out are good albums. I wouldn't necessarily say they're great albums, and that actually goes into, I'm going to preface the live show by saying I loved it. I thought live.
I'm with you.
I thought live it sounded amazing, and I was like,
I'm going with you 100% because I know where you're headed with this.
Because I was looking forward to the show because I wanted to see Phil in a small club, and you know, it's Phil and Somo, and he's right there, and you know, everything's going on. But I mean, you've got, but once the show started, I was like, wow, Phil's voice sounded great. The band sounded, you know, tight. It was super, you know, maybe it was the mix there or something. It was super clear, and you know, everything sounded great. So I was totally blown away by the show.
Superjoint is like a punch in the face in two different ways. I mean, like, their albums, like the actual album, I'm a fan of them, but like production wise and like stuff like that, it's kind of like, god damn, you know, it's pretty brutal and not so much the best way, I guess. I mean, I don't want to knock anybody, but it's the kind of shit that, like you said, like the direction I think you were going, it's like when you go and see it live, it like totally makes sense.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And I've listened to it since we've seen the show, and I've been totally into it. But going into the show, I was like, you know, it's cool. It'll be cool. But, you know, and now I've got friends that are, you know, in other states that are – Oh yeah, man. I saw your pictures that you took. You know, they're going to be here next week. I'm thinking about going, and I'm like, no, dude, you have to go. It's
amazing. Gotta go. Yeah, exactly.
So that's
all those guys. It seems to me like he does all these side projects, but if you watch and pay attention and all that kind of stuff, he always does these bands with pretty much the same group of people you know what I mean?
Yeah.
In a way. And they're like a tight knit, his whole house core records is pretty much a tight knit family. And whether some people are subbing in and out for Down and Superjoint and Crowbar and all these other bands, you know, they all keep it together and they keep it New Orleans and everything that they're all about. So, I mean, you gotta give the guy credit for that.
Absolutely.
Over everything, you know?
Oh yeah.
And go ahead.
No, I was going to say, let's go ahead and give, well, you know, we're not doing the local openers. They were all right, but the actual touring package itself with Child Bite and Battle Cross, I was 100% blown away by Child Bite. Like you know, they were kind of setting up and you know, the singer looks like Neil Fallon's brother and then
dude,
he looks,
that's what,
go ahead.
That's what Eric and I were talking about.
Yeah.
Where it was like, he was like, man, is fucking Neil Fallon have a brother? And I'm like, yeah, it's him on the stage. And I'll tell you something about Child Bite.
Okay.
When the last time I saw them.
Oh, so you've seen them before.
Yeah. Yeah. The last time Down came through Louisville, they played Mercury Ballroom and, Child Bite was on the bill. And I honestly did not get Child Bite. They came out and I was like, what in the fuck is this shit? You know what I mean?
Right.
Cause we were way back, you know how that venue's set up. So we were way back by the bar.
Yeah.
And we got there right when they were coming out and, the singer Sean, you know, like we seen him the other night, he's got his head all shaved, right. You know, and big old beard. Well, when we got there for that show, he had this crazy hair just growing out all crazy and a big old beard, and he came out and he's just like, wah! You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It was like, yeah, and it was like, what the fuck is going on? I don't get this fucking band. So fast forward to the other night, when I'm standing there sitting on the couch in that room talking to Jimmy, and he is actually sitting over there behind us on his laptop, and me sitting there thinking, I know this fucking guy from somewhere. Why does he look so familiar? And he ended up being, you know, Sean from Child Bite.
Nice.
Well, when we go out and watch the show, and this venue that we're talking about is, I do a lot of photography for, you know, just shooting rock shows and stuff. And this venue in particular is, there's like you and the stage. There's
right.
No photo pit. There's no nothing. It's just like old school metal show. There's just like, you know, you're right there. Phil Anselmo comes out and he's like stepping on your hands or your head or whatever is in the way. So we go out there and like you said, we sit through all these, I don't even know what was going on with some of these local bands that were in, that were playing, but Child Bite comes out and I'm like right there pretty much face to face with the band and I totally got it. You know what I mean? This time around. It's,
well, they're the kind of band that I think that if you saw them at a big, you know, if they were to open, you know, a Five Finger Death Punch show at the Yum Center.
Oh, they'd run people out of there.
They would run people out of there, but they would also not make any sense. But the way that we saw them at Diamonds, which is a very small, shitty club, like they're a very small, shitty club kind of band. Like they have that energy that needs to be encapsulated into a small venue. And so when they came out, and I mean, that was one of the few times too that the band came out, set themselves, you know, set their gear up themselves, sound checked the gear themselves in front of the entire crowd, and then they walked off stage, which I thought was kind of a silly move at the time because, you know, just I'm like, oh, look at these guys. And their intro was like 20 minutes long. I think their musical intro was very long. But then when they finally came back out and became Child Bite, I was just like, oh my God. And then, you know, the other thing, we'll piggyback on this, but, you know, that's the first time I've actually had a photo pass and had a somewhat decent camera. Yeah. So I took it and tried, you know, I was using my photo pass for once. I've had them in the past, but I've never taken a camera. And so, you know, I'm out there like trying to shoot this thing, and it was crazy. It was so much fun to watch. And then I did go back towards the soundboard halfway through the show, and it still was still amazing. And actually one of the few bands that, you know, the next day I was on Spotify checking them out again and trying to see if it still, you know, felt the same. And, you know, there were songs on there that I was like, oh yeah, I heard that song. Oh yeah, I remember that song. So it was, they definitely, you know, for what they were, for, you know, a band, was it a third band on a bill of three, you know, excluding the opening bands. I think they were an amazing opening band for this tour. And I can see what you're saying. Like at the Mercury Ballroom, I don't think that they would make much sense, because the Mercury Ballroom is a very nice venue with nice slick areas everywhere. So, I mean, they, you know, if Childbuck comes back through and they headline maybe a hole in the wall bar or something, I will definitely be there.
Well, when you look them up, okay, it comes up as like, I don't know what genre or whatever. If you go and look up Super Joint, I don't know what genre comes up with that, but when you look up Childbite, as I did when I got home, I was like, okay, well, I'm actually gonna fucking look this shit up now. It comes up as punk something something, you know.
Yeah.
And it's very much that, and it totally makes sense, because we were right there. And the only thing that I can say is I managed to get a few good shots of the band and their frontman Sean in general, you know. But that dude, you cannot get a shot of that guy, man. He's like an animal on the stage. Yeah. I'm like, just stand still for like a second. Let me get one fucking picture, dude. And he's running around the stage like old school punk rock show, spitting all over the fucking place, man. And like just raw. It was just, I was like, I was taken back, really, because after a while, I was just like, all right, fuck these pictures. I just want to watch the, absolutely, I just want to watch the show.
Yeah. So yeah, Childbite, amazing. If you guys out there listening and want to check them out, make sure and go check out some Childbite. And then we'll move on to Battlecross. And I think the one thing with Battlecross on this whole tour was, this is my assessment walking away, if you go wanting to hear some Pantera, a Battlecross is going to blow you away. Because you know, they were the perfect band on the bill to kind of, you know, scratch that itch. Because, you know, even though that they, even though Superjoy sounded great, they weren't going to scratch that metal itch. You know, they're heavy, but they're not necessarily metal. But, you know, Battlecross comes out with all the flying guitars and the bass solos and you know Gumby up there just fucking you know, growling at you and headbanging. You know, you're going to get that itch scratch. And I think, in all honesty, when I first saw that the bill with Superjoint and Battlecross together, it didn't make sense. But once I got there, I was like, okay, now it makes sense. Because you look around and there's, you know, all these old dudes in Pantera shirts there to see Phil, and they're going to want to hear some fucking metal. And so you get Battlecross, and that's exactly what they're there for.
Yeah, they kind of, I didn't catch them the last time they came through, but I think you've done a show with Haran, is that right?
Yeah.
Guitar player? Yeah, like I've talked to him at the, Phil did a spoken word show here in Louisville, and we got there kind of early and got some seats, you know, close to the stage, and I was talking to this guy for at least 20 minutes, you know, before, you know, Phil came out, and it ended up being Haran. You know, they drove all the way down. Were they from like Michigan or something like that? And they came down just to see that. And here I am sitting there talking to him the whole time. So to actually be able to see him. And I think the singer, what did he say? The last time they were here, they had somebody else covering
his
when
they were here
part.
With the with Soil Work, Kyle Gunther, Gumby had taken some time off to deal some sort of family issues or something. So they had a replacement singer for a minute. So yeah, it was nice to see him up there again too.
Yeah, he was a good front man too, man.
Oh yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
I went into that knowing absolutely nothing about Battlecross except, hey, there's that guy I went and shot the shit with for 20 minutes and talked about Kiss and shit. You know what I mean? Nothing even close to their style of music. But yeah, they were, like you said, if you're going to go and expect to see some kind of Pantera-ish kind of stuff, man, they were on point.
Yeah, and the next week on the podcast is my sit-down with Haran, where we broke down Seasons in the Abyss. So that's going to be a lot of fun to sit down and edit and get that out to you guys, too. And so, yeah, so far, Childbite, amazing. Battlecross was, I think, the perfect band to warm up to Superjoint. And then Superjoint comes out, and man, like I kept telling the wife that it was, you know, my first photo pass, and I'm like right up on Phil, and I probably took 400 pictures of just Phil.
Because, you and me both.
Because I was, he's just right there. You know, you couldn't. He was. You know, there's no barricade. You might be between a monitor and him, if that. You know, if he steps out in between the monitors, and he was doing every single classic Phil pose ever. And I put out on Facebook a folder of I called it a Phil making Phil faces, because you know, it was like one classic, you know, Phil shot after another. And I finally, you know, went through and found a few that weren't terrible that I took. But yeah, man, I was totally blown away. And it's, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, Pantera being my favorite band of all time, and you know, Phil's right there. And you know, you can't get any better than that.
Yeah, it looks like he finally quit bashing the microphone on his forehead. Finally. I was kind of tired of that when I'm like, dude, I'm trying to get good shots of you, and every time you just got this big scab on your fucking forehead, man. What's going on with that shit?
Yeah. So, was it funny to you that Downs guitar player is basically kind of like their stage manager? It was kind of odd to see that.
Oh, Bobby? Yeah. A few years ago, they lost Kurt. He left to, you know, kick Crowbar back in full time. And they picked up Bobby Landgraf, I believe that's his last name. And yeah, it was kind of strange. We got there early and was walking around the front of the venue to go meet their tour manager, so I could get this
amazing, you know, interview.
This amazing interview that lives out in the ether somewhere.
right.
Sorry, Jimmy. And we're standing there, and I see this guy walking up, this big long beard, man. It's like no cheeks, no mustache, nothing like that. He's got that beard that just starts at the jawline and comes down like ZZ Top style. And I'm like, holy shit, man. There's, you know, I'm getting in my back of my mind, I'm like, ah, oh, man, they're going to bust out some down jams or something. So we come walking up, and I'm like, hey, man, when's the next down EP? And he was like, I was like, when's it coming? He was like, not soon enough, man. You know?
Nice.
And I'm like, what are you doing here? And he was like, oh, I'm on the road with them. You know, he's helping them out and stuff. And man, talk about, like, I've been to a lot of, obviously a ton of shows, and it's always cool when you run into somebody like that, and they just, you just say, you know, just catch him outside kind of random.
Right.
And he stood there, and I almost felt, because he was still talking when we needed to walk off. So it's kind of like, you know, usually you think it's the other way around. And it's always cool to run into somebody like that that's actually there and like give a shit and want to like hang out and talk and right. stuff.
It's also cool to run into somebody when it's unexpected, when you don't expect them to be there. That's always my favorite. I've always loved to just to see people that you definitely don't expect to be there.
Exactly. And he was as cool as he could be, and we ran into him a couple times in inside the venue. And I don't think anybody, the thing about Down is they're kind of one of those bands where everybody's there to see Superjoint. Like at that, the other night, everybody's there to see Phil Anselmo, you know what I mean? And there's all these other people in his band that are in bands that are equal to or just as big as Superjoint, pretty much, you know. And everybody's just like, oh, there's Phil. And, you know, it's like, oh, there's Jimmy Bauer, you know what I mean? It's right. Like, there's all these other people standing there. Well, Bobby comes out, and he's standing like 2 feet away from me watching the band. And I'm like, man, I completely forgot to get a shot with this guy like earlier. So I'm like, you know, I walk over to him and get a shot of, you know, like a selfie, you know, with Bobby. And, you know, you see a couple of people like, oh, that guy must be somebody. Let me go over and get a picture with it. You know, it's kind of funny to see that.
You
kind
started
of shit.
That.
Yeah, man. I felt bad after that because he was stuck there taking like pictures of like 10 people. But.
Well, I think when you walked over there, I did hear somebody behind me go, that is the dude from Down or something like that. Like somebody kind of said one of those like, see, it is or something. So, I mean,
there's no mistaking that guy, man. It's like, you know, and he was more than gracious with everybody. You know what I mean? So.
Well, I mean, it's got to be cool for him to be out. I mean, you know, be out on a tour like that and people recognize him, you know, that whole unexpected thing. And you know, he's just out. he's just out kind of stage managing. He was, you know, sound checking guitars and stuff when we were watching him. So, I mean, it's got to be cool for him to see, to have people come up and want to get their picture with him.
Yeah, especially being, you know, for better or for worse, however you feel about the term, but like being the replacement guy, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
And he's been in the band for quite a few years now. But, you know, it's not like it's Kurt with this big, long, you know, beard hang, you know what I mean? But he does have a big beard, right. Obviously, but it's not Kirk, you know right. what I mean? Who he replaced. And, but that's the thing about that whole Anselmo camp, man, everybody, he catches a lot of shit.
Very interchangeable.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm just saying as far as, like on a personable level, like for obvious reasons, you know, Phil catches a lot of shit. I mean, everybody knows why, what happened, you know, that's in the past, whatever, man. But, he involves himself, at least he surrounds himself with like all the same type of person, like anybody in that band or anybody that on that whole tour that was completely approachable and was like going out of their way to, you know what I'm saying? It was like, it wasn't like I've met Sebastian Bach before. And that was a total fucking nightmare, like a total fucking disaster. Yeah, a few people in the podcast, whatever you want, universe, whatever, know about that story. But yeah, man, you go from something like that. It's like, I grew up listening to this guy. I met him. He's a total fucking asshole. And then there's like other people that go out of their way like, oh, yeah, cool, man. I'll take a beer. Hey, you want me to, you need anything? You cool? You need me to talk to anybody? You know, your press credentials covered and all that kind of shit. So that's, you know, that's always nice to run into. Basically.
Oh yeah, it's definitely nice. And another thing too, in, you know, being in this podcasting world and, you know, kind of coming from playing in music a little bit too, but you know, the people that are the biggest people that I've had on this show have been the most gracious people that I've had on the show. And some of the smaller named people that I've had on the show, it's, you know, they're the ones that are hard to nail down for the interview and hard to deal with. But yeah, you get, you know, like I said, like Dave Ellefson, when he came on the show, he couldn't have been nicer. Like he was the nicest person that's been on the show and stuff like that. And, you know, you don't, I think a lot of times, man, you don't get to be that big being a dick. You know, you have to be courteous and gracious and enjoy the ride.
Yeah, man. I mean, like, that's exactly what I mean. You have Dave, like one of the biggest people in metal right there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Went out of his way for you. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So that's one thing I always got to give. There's a lot of people that talk mad shit about Anselmo and he's this and he's that. And you know what? Like you and I were both at that spoken word show. And we were both at the Super Joint show, and dude goes out of his way for anybody that was there. And you could tell that he's happy that everybody's there, and he was actually really having a good time, you know?
Well, I wonder I kind of wonder how his perception has changed because of all the stuff that came down with the Dime Bash incident. And, you know, maybe he's a little bit more thankful that people are still coming out. You know, he could have been a career ruiner, you know what I'm saying? And I think a lot of people came out of the woodwork to support him in that too. But I think he might have saw that, and not that he was ever an ass, but I'm just saying, like, maybe he saw what could happen, you know, the fan backlash.
He's obviously had his times, you know what I mean? But, I mean, I think he handled it pretty good. And then you know, he did, like, when he did that spoken word show, I was honestly like, oh, here we go. You know, because it was like, what, maybe 6 months after that, I think it was.
Yeah, it was really quick.
Because he laid low for like 6 months. And I was like, well, this is like the apology tour or something. And yeah, but, I mean, you would expect that. But I mean, it was like he did that one date. You and I were there, and then, like, you know, a whole room full of other people, and he's never done it since. I wish he would do it more, because that was great.
Yeah,
that was, you know what I mean? And came out, he didn't really address it. He don't really need to.
No,
honestly,
he doesn't
but,
need to.
Yeah, I mean, he's gone on all the shows and interviews. He's put it out there. It was what it meant, and, you know, people took it how they took it. But
Even if I would have got an interview with him, like I was trying to, there was zero chance I was going to ask him about it. Like there was no,
that's the last thing you would bring up.
Right.
I mean, as far as like at that show, And then fast forward to this show, dude was going out of his way and was like, he was still Anselmo, like, in every sense of that word. He's like his, you know what I'm saying.
No, I got you. And he was definitely telling, you know, doing the whole security, let these kids have fun, it's a Tuesday night, and blah, 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 you know. And he was very gracious. He even said something similar to that, too. He was like, I just want to say thank you guys for all you guys coming out on a Tuesday night, and blah, blah, blah. You know, he was very... He made a point to thank everyone for coming out.
Yeah, man. And music and stuff, when you find somebody that's, you know, after meeting all these people, and you know from being in bands and touring with, you know, God knows who all you've toured with. But you know how they are, man. Yeah. And for him to be he's like 100% real. He's 100% like unapologetic, but you know, and for most of the parts, but yeah, I mean, you can't ask for like pretty much, I'm swinging on the Anselmo sack over here, right. but I mean, you know what I'm saying? You got to give respect where it's due. So I give the man all the credit he deserves.
Absolutely, man. Well, let's move into this, Jimmy Bauer interview. And it's funny that, you know, going into this, Jimmy Bauer is one of those names to me that I know Jimmy Bauer's name, but when it actually comes down to his discography, I was like, I looked it up. I'm like, oh shit, he played on that. Oh shit, he played on that. You know, it was one of those things that, which it's not like he jumped out at me I didn't have all these stories. So I had to like look stuff up. And I think I even joked with him.
I know it.
On the interview, I like Facebook stalked him and you know, he tends to share, pictures of like old pickup trucks and like all this like woodworking and stuff. So like we had this is probably the most bizarre interview I've had. I've actually haven't listened to it since I've done it. I was gonna, you know, I'll edit this. I'll edit it later. But yeah, going into the interview, like we sat and talked about, you know, building birdhouses and his love of Pinterest and stuff. So it's crazy. Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna take your word for it because I'm not gonna listen to your fucking interview.
I hope you don't. You're like you're only gonna tune in to listen to yourself. And then tune out and then fast
man,
forward until
like,
later on.
Yeah, man, because I went in there. I'm going in there, Jimmy Bauer fan, man. Right. You know what I mean? I'm coming in here all guns blazing, and then this fucking shit fucks up on me, man. And now I got to listen to your interview.
You had
so,
on the second down record when you played the blah blah blah. You know.
Well, you know what was funny is I was looking back, going over some. I plugged up a hard drive and was going back to edit some old photos. And I actually had do you remember the guy that stood up and asked Phil a question at the spoken word thing when he was doing the, you know, the Q&A part? And he's like, oh, and whatever song was, 2 minutes and 30 seconds, you say something on the mic for like 10 seconds. And Phil's like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. I mean, that was his response.
No, I don't remember that. I don't remember that at all, but yeah, I could see that.
I was like that guy in this interview that I did with Jimmy. I'm like, well, you know, back on Down 2, you guys got together and you recorded this whole thing in 28 days and
what was like super nerd.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, exactly. I was, you know what I mean? I was like, man, I'm probably creeping this dude out just a tad, but whatever. Stuff I wanted to know, I gotta ask, you know?
Absolutely. All right, so the last thing I say about Down before the interview is, as I've always said, that Down should have been the best new metal band ever. Like, I'm sure
come on.
No, I'm just saying, like, as in the name, not the members, but the name. Like,
okay.
Like, if I bet you $1 million there was at least 6 bands that were, like, 13 and tuned down to whatever, and they were all called Down until they found out. They're like, God damn it.
Yeah, man. They can't compete.
Because they're down-tuned.
Name, maybe. Music can't compete.
But you know what I'm about to say right now. All right, so go without ahead. Any more of mine and Mike's ramblings, let's talk to Jimmy Bauer.
All right, give me some earplugs.
Hey, what's happening? This is Trevor Phipps from Unearth, and you're listening to Talk to Me.
I'll make sure I'm recording.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. All right, cool. I'm going to take the headphones off, but yeah.
Damn, people that interview people are pissed.
No, Mike's a good dude, man. I like Mike a lot. Let's see here. All right, Jimmy Bauer, welcome to Talk to Me.
Talk to Me?
Talk to Me.
Talk to Me.
Yeah, my name is Joshua Toomey. Talk to Me. Play on words, you know. You gotta.
How you doing, man?
Like the Bauer, what is it? Bauer Power.
Yeah. That nickname's been around since I was a kid in school, man.
Yeah, where that? I mean, obviously, I know where it came from, but I mean,
because it rhymes.
Yeah, right. Wow, this is a great interview.
Yeah, that was a pretty easy one right there.
All right, well, it was good talking to you. All right, man. All right, I'm going to start with a story, a stupid story.
Mm-hmm.
All right, were your parents supportive of you in your early bands, maybe coming out to shows?
My dad wanted me to go to college because I dropped out of high school. My mom supported. She was always behind what I did. My dad's totally behind what I do now.
Yeah.
He was just trying to be a good dad.
Very cool.
Didn't want me to quit school.
Yeah, we had a we did some local shows 20 years ago in Tennessee, and we show up to the venue, and the sound, you know, local sound guy, he's probably about pushing 400 pounds, wearing an I Hate God shirt, and one of our bandmates' mothers came out, Southern Baptist, you know, and we thought we were like, oh great, you know, she saw the name. And all she says is she looks over and she's like, looks more like he ate God. So,
that's awesome.
Every time I hear that name, I always think back to that story.
I don't think we sell shirts that big, man.
He probably squeezed into a medium. But a few different things I wanted to get into, but one of the first times I ever saw I Hate God was Pantera White Zombie Tour.
Oh, yeah.
What do you remember about that tour?
A lot. That was a great tour. That was a great opportunity for us. You know, Phil was cool back in the day and would bring out, like, he brought out Anal Cunt, mm-hmm. Solent Green, Neurosis, you know. So, and we got a lot of this. We got a lot of the Bird Finger, but the tour started here in Louisville, didn't it? No, it didn't. We played Louisville, though.
Yeah. I saw that tour in Nashville. I'm originally from Nashville, so.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, that was... It was a great show, man. It was so cool to see you guys up on a stage that big. I mean, and plus that tour alone is probably, looking back on it, probably one of my favorite shows of all time. You know, Pantera at their prime, White Zombie with that insane stage show they had going on.
Oh, yeah,
they were always about their stage presence and stuff. So,
yeah, it was a great opportunity for I Hate God. And, I mean, we were scared shitless, man.
I bet.
You know, I mean, we went from playing like little clubs where 50 people would show up. And then, you know, Phil got offered to go do that. And I just remember the first night being like, just nervous, you know? I
mean,
that's any musician's dream is to play in a big place, especially with a Bird Finger band name called I Hate God.
Right.
You know, it was cool.
What was, I'm sure you get this one a lot, but I mean, what's some of the troubles you had with that name over the years?
Actually, not that much, you know? I mean, if you just sit... If anybody's a halfway a rational person and will sit down and let you explain the name to them, you know, then it's not that bad. We were trying to get off Century Media years ago, and me and Joey went to a lawyer's office, and they had a firm or whatever, and they had a bunch of lawyers, and they all sat down and say, first off, this name is genius. And we were like, oh, cool, man.
We're done.
But not, I mean, you know. Nothing extreme.
Yeah.
Know?
Nothing too great. No, not a lot of picketers or anything like that.
You don't go hang out in a church parking lot, you know, try and sell shirts. So.
Right. Any updates on Mike? How's he doing?
Doing really good, man. Been texting with him and supposed to be playing Berserker Fest in Pontiac, Michigan.
Oh, yeah?
And
on his birthday.
Yeah, on his birthday.
Oh, very cool.
So, yeah, just real glad that he's doing better, man. You know,
because
it was really
very scary.
We were here in Louisville. Mm-hmm. We played that show, and then he went into septic shock at a hotel room here in Louisville and spent a week in Louisville in the hospital.
Oh, wow.
I thought he was dead, man.
Yeah.
And we went back home, and then he came back home, and then you know, started the process of get the transplant. You know.
Yeah. I see you're doing February 3rd, 4th, and 5th in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much, how many bands are you playing in that weekend?
I'm just playing at one night. I'm doing my solo stuff.
Yeah.
Super Joint and I Hate God.
Okay.
So, it should be pretty easy.
Not too bad. Yeah,
I'm more nervous about the solo shit than I am about anything else.
What are you doing your solo stuff?
It's me and Kevin and a fiddle player.
Yeah. Oh wow.
You're gonna do three songs. So.
Very cool. And that should be all right.
Yeah. I'm nervous about it, but fuck it.
Right.
Can't be worse than the Pantera thing. There won't be that many. It won't be as many people there.
Flipping you off. Hopefully they won't be flipping you off.
Yeah, hopefully they won't be flipping
right.
me
Especially
off.
Especially at a Mike benefit.
Yeah,
Mike
right.
Mike Williams benefit. Speaking of fiddle players and stuff, we'll kind of go into, I was, doing a little Facebook stalking, trying to get a few items to talk about. And one thing I noticed with your top 10 albums that maybe shaped your life or whatnot, two Hank Sr., one Hank Jr., and obviously, with the Sheldon, Hank III connection there too. I mean, what is the Hank family been to you?
Listening to Hank. My mom used to sing Luke the Drifter to me when I was a baby, man. So, and Hank Jr., I'd go to family reunions in Lake Charles, Louisiana, and that, we'd show up and, dude, fucking Habits Old and New, Family Tradition, Whiskey Bent Hellbound, play them over and over, everybody dancing and having a good time getting drunk and
right.
shit. So, and then recently, well, past like five, 10 years ago, got into Hank Williams a lot, I mean, dude, he's amazing.
So funny going back listening to early Hank Williams stuff and just listening to his lyrics. And you think that lying and cheating and messing around on your man and all that stuff is new. And then you listen to some Hank Williams and it's all about, going out. And
I actually put the wrong title down about that. I just bought that collection. It's like 40 songs or something.
Yeah.
Like, it's great, man.
Oh, I love it.
It does have old gospel standards.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
That,
That was the one thing about those guys, Cash did it too, where they would they would put out the hard drinking song and then they would do a gospel record and back and forth, and that was 100% completely acceptable.
Yang and yang, man.
There you go. I mean, could you imagine doing a Hey God record, the way you would do it, and then the next album be a gospel record and everybody's
dad says you guys are idiots if you don't do a Christmas album.
There you go. And the I Hate God Christmas. Yeah, and that's well, that's the thing. I mean, every Christmas, they have to. Plus, now they have to fill so many hours of Christmas radio. I'm saying maybe Liquid Metal would pick it up or something. Like that would end up doing it. And then, My Dumb Show would play it. And then, a bunch of, things would pick it up because, the amount of heavy metal Christmas out there is lacking.
I got something to do when I get home, man.
There you go.
Get on it, man.
Well, if you put out a Christmas album, me and your dad get a cut.
There you go.
All right. Well, another thing on here. Obviously, your dad now. For a couple of years now. I mean, how has that kind of changed? Has that changed anything in you? The way you tour.
What's that? What you mean?
Just touring as often, or just maybe not looking forward to tour as much.
Being a dad.
Yeah, being a dad.
I thought you were talking about my dad.
No. Being a dad. Sorry.
No, it's no different, man. I was making my living for 30 years before my daughter was born,
right.
So, and like I was telling Mike, man, it's if anything, it gives you more influence, more reason to go out and do it even more,
you know?
It's my time to go out and have fun, man.
Right. Get away for a minute.
Because when I get home, it's, being a dad.
Yeah, yeah. What's the, are you spending a lot of time, FaceTime, doing stuff like that?
Yeah. Do FaceTime, and she hangs up on me a lot, man. it's fun to see her. And she told me the other day that she missed me. That was the first time I've ever heard that.
That's got to be that
hurts. Old country song right there. I was like, dude,
get out the acoustic.
Yeah.
Well, I toured throughout the 90s and 2000s, and my son was born in 05, and I remember doing some stuff in 07. Mm-hmm. And I was in the van in Arizona, and you get that call that just everything's going crazy at home, and you just completely feel helpless out there. That's always such a that's the hard stuff right there.
Yeah, that's why it's good to have family, man.
Yeah,
family can always help out, and my wife's great, so she. She does a great job, and she's really supportive as well, so,
Very cool, very cool. And the other thing I saw that you tend to share a lot of trucks.
I like old trucks.
Man, those old trucks are so cool. I love them.
They're awesome, dude.
You know, do you actually own one yourself?
I had a 72 F100 custom short bed.
Yeah.
But it cracked the block on it. So, I mean, I'd like to get one, but, you know, I drive a Toyota right now. Man. Pretty heavy, huh?
There you go. Yeah, man. I was actually looking at all those trucks. I was like, you know, that's the thing with like
just
those
dreaming, dude.
Yeah, I know. You got to sit there and then you see one drive by you or something. And I like when they take the old restoration, but they don't do a new paint job on it. They just, you know, seal in basically the patina that's there, the rust that's there.
Yeah, yeah.
And make it look like a, you know, the insides of it might be new, but the outsides look like an old junker.
I don't like these new rims they got, man. Yeah. I mean, I share the truck, but some of the rims are fucking weird.
Yeah, they get a little bit odd.
I like the old slot ones, you know.
Yeah. Very cool. And then the woodworking, too. Seems like you love sharing the wood. You're like a man's man. Like, you're totally different than
pretty
me.
Pretty bare comment. No, I made my daughter a dollhouse, and I made this year I made her a little crib, you know.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's just
something
fun. It's a hobby, yeah.
Well, you know,
I used to do that with my grandpa.
Oh, yeah.
On my mom's side. I used to take woodworking classes, and he used to help me out, you know, so...
Very cool. Yeah, that's
something he said, being able to read a tape measure.
It's a lot. You know, that's the one thing. My grandfather did all that stuff, but I never hung around that. I was always, you know, playing music or something. So I never caught that bug. But yeah, you know, but you know, when you get the.
I mean, I've built three things, a planting station, a dollhouse, and a crib.
Well, that's three more things than I've made. Yeah. I think I made a birdhouse once. But.
There you go. It's fun. You had fun with it.
You know,
all right.
I bought some old license plates and I made a roof. You know, yeah, there you go.
It makes you think, man.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
So, I'll drive around and go to dumpsters and shit and at like where houses are being built and just go grab wood out the dumpster.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Free wood. They throw away a lot of it.
They do. I'm the worst at like driving down the road and seeing a pile of stuff people are throwing out and kind of giving it the second eye, make sure they're not throwing out something good. And
some people are like, come back, take it, man, please.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
When our neighbors across the street moved out, they were throwing away just like gym after gym, and we were running out there, running across the street, putting it back in our garage.
Yeah.
But that's
my wife sometimes gets aggravated because I want to pick everything up.
Right. Oh yeah.
Hey, but you can't, man. Yeah. I picked up a bunch of cabinets and stuff, and I got like a little pile in my garage.
But the project pile.
Yeah.
My wife's more that. She's always, you know, on Pinterest and stuff and going through. And
I love Pinterest, dude. Recipes.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, I got to cook, man. Yeah. You know?
That's always fun, man. Yeah, the Jimmy Bauer loves Pinterest is the title of this one.
What's wrong with Pinterest, man?
No, nothing at all, man. It's one of those things where you get so far deep into it and you're like, want to put the phone down and go out in the garage and start, you know, finding a bunch of old pallets and, you know, making that stuff. Yeah, that's...
There's some cool shit you can make with pallets, man.
Oh, yeah.
Totally. You know, some people get... Oh, I made my wife for Christmas a guitar.
Oh, yeah?
Took the an acoustic. I took the top off.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. The little shelf thing.
That and put a little shelf in there.
Yeah. Those things are cool. I like that one.
It says blessed, you know? Because we just bought a house a couple years ago, so...
Very cool, very cool.
Doing better than I used to be, man.
Right.
So that's good.
Very cool. So we'll kind of get into the Super Joint Tour. You know, this is kind of Phil's first foray back into touring and things like that. Are you seeing, you know, people happy to see him back out? Are you seeing people, everybody, you know, a lot of positivity?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, he's a fucking icon, man.
He is an icon.
You know, it's like, you know, we've been having a great time, man.
Yeah.
The shows have been excellent, you know. It's killer because all... You know, usually in the front couple rows, the kids are all singing the lyrics to the new record.
Yeah.
Boom, that means you won, man.
There you go.
You know?
Yeah.
So
no, have you seen any hate at all in this tour? Or just any, you know, people just staying at home behind their keyboards?
Yeah. Yeah, SJWs.
Right?
Yeah.
That's funny. I heard him in an interview saying that a lot of this album, if not all of it, was written before all of that, and it was almost like foreshadowing.
Yeah.
What was about to happen with the, you know, everyone coming out of the woodwork to give him shit.
I mean, I'm because he says that, and I'm the pot calling the kettle black because I'm on Facebook like fucking all day.
Right.
But it gives me something to do.
Well, I'm addicted to it, man. I hate to say it.
Try Pinterest, man.
No, well, that's the thing. I gotta stay away from Pinterest. If I stay on Pinterest too long, then I will be. I might put the phone down and go out and build the, you know, some of those cool coffee tables or something with a foam.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen that meme where it's like, I made this lasagna out of a pile of old pallets.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, she's always, you just look at her wheels are turning and Pinterest is going, and next thing you know, I gotta buy, you know, some sort of vinyl laminate and everything else. And
keep you on your toes, man.
Oh, that's what they're there for, man. That's what they're there for.
Yeah.
Very cool. And
we're just stupid dudes carrying sperm.
That's pretty much all we are, I think. She's like, yeah, go do your little podcast. I'm gonna be in here, you know.
Yeah.
I'll be doing the real stuff.
We need milk on the way home, asshole. Right?
No, I made a pot of chili before I left because, you know,
dude,
for dinner.
I got a great chili recipe off of Pinterest. It's healthy, man. I'll eat fucking 3-4 days on one pot of chili.
Oh,
man.
Yeah. Well, when I was single, yeah, you make a stew or something in the crock pot and you could live on that for a week, you know, beef stew or there you go.
Yeah.
Good old Kentucky. Anything new with Down that we need to know about?
Hopefully, eventually, we're going to get in there and start working on a third EP, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, Pepper's doing COC right now, and they're working on a new album.
Yeah.
Before that, I Hate God was, like, on a crazy touring stint. And then Super Joint, you know, we started doing that again. So, hey, I mean, Down's had years between records before, not on purpose, you
right.
know, but it's just, I mean, sometimes it's nice to get away and then you can come back, you know. It's like everybody from New Orleans and all that is in multiple bands, you know.
Yeah,
if you're gonna play music, man.
That's one of the few cities that I, you know, I hate to keep reading this crap, but I played New Orleans a lot late 90s, early 2000s at a club called Zeppelin's.
Oh, yeah.
Metairie. I love that club.
What band were you in, man?
It was a band called 12 Volt Negative Earth. We were out of Nashville, but we played. Zeppelin's was one of the few places that we could go and headline out of state and draw a crowd, you know, draw 100 people.
Really open minded scene in New Orleans,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, played with a band called Abuse a lot.
Abuse a lot?
Abuse?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we played with those guys. I remember
Jeremy.
Seeing him. Yeah, I remember him a lot.
Used to be.
I saw. Remember one time we were at the show and we looked over and old big sexy T, Todd Strange, was at the show. We're like, oh my God, it's the dude from Crowbar.
Yeah,
we were so excited to see him. I think he was out of Crowbar at the time, but he was still, you know, you can't miss him in a crowd. But
see, New Orleans really appreciated anything that came through because if you really look at the interstate system, man, a lot of bands would go play Houston and then they'd dodge on over and they'd miss New Orleans. They wouldn't come down.
Yeah.
So whenever shows would come down, you know, everybody would come out in full force and everything like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and the scene's still really good in New Orleans. I don't leave my house, man.
Right. You know, this is one of the few times I get out of the house.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. You know,
too old for all this.
Yeah.
But actually, one of the times I played Zeppelin's, I just got off stage and our singer came over and he was like, dude, there's a girl out in the parking lot and she has a DeLorean. I'm like, what? And I ran outside and she had a DeLorean and I was like, will you please let me drive this thing? She was like, yeah. I drove around the block in this DeLorean going about 10 miles an hour and she looked at me and she's like, you know, you can go faster than this. I'm like freaking
open
out.
It up, man. The guy that invented DeLoreans from New Orleans, I believe.
Yeah, the girl was saying that her dad had somehow helped out John DeLorean, and that was a gift from John himself to her dad. So it was like even more.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And she's just, you know, they probably just gave it to her, and she probably ragged the shit out of it. No
Back
telling
to the
when.
Future car.
I know. Love. Favorite movie of all time.
But, is it?
Oh, yeah.
You need to hang out with my wife, man. Oh. She loves that movie, too. I'm 11 years older than her, so.
I think you're.
I'm 48.
Yeah, I'm 38, so. I'm 37. I'll be 38 this year. Pantera.
Are you my wife?
I might be. Reincarnated. You know, this club actually has another Pantera tie for me. This is the last club I ever saw Damage Plan at.
Oh, okay.
There was a stage believe downstairs here. It was used to be called something else, and a stage downstairs.
Oh, really?
The Damage Plan played here a couple of months before Dime was taken from us.
That's cool. At least you got to see him, man.
Oh, it was great. I saw luckily I saw Pantera probably 12 times over the years, just being a kid and going to shows and seeing them across the country. I mean, obviously you saw them a ton of times too.
Well, that was the band for your age group, you know, if you think about
it. Man, they
changed music, man.
Yeah.
You know? Well, there's very few bands that come through and actually change music, you know? And Phil's got those bragging rights, man. Yeah. His band changed fucking music. There you go.
Yeah, I know. So I was just thinking about him.
Must be a Siri-controlled jukebox.
Yeah, it must be something. Yeah, anything we talk about, the next thing you know, it's coming on the jukebox.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of freaky when shit like that happens, man.
But, roll with it, man.
So were you... I did interview with Kirk, you know, Weinstein a while back, mm-hmm. and he was talking about the early days of Pantera and, like, you know, going to see Pantera pre-Phil and Phil even telling him that he was going to go audition for him, things like that. Did you have any of those stories? Were you friends with Phil pre-Pantera? Did you know him?
A little bit.
Yeah.
I think we really started not hanging out, but we me and him connected on the Exhorter demo.
Yeah.
On the Slaughter in the Vatican demo, he was in town, and I mean I knew him from being in Razor White and stuff like that. We actually grew up right down the street from each other.
That's crazy.
Well, I lived in Lakeview and he lived in Lakeview. I didn't know it, but anyway, I went in there and I said, "Dude, I got the new Exhorter demo." And we spent the rest of the night in my car just listening to it over and over, and went and made him a copy the next morning and stuff. And
I always hear those rumors of, like, you know, I'm not going to say rip off, but, you know, the early Pantera sounds like
Exhorter. Everybody rips music off.
No, but it's funny, is I'd never heard that Exhorter stuff.
You like something, you take the influence from.
Oh, hey.
You know?
There were a lot of bands that sounded like Pantera, but it was when I first, you know, I'd heard Pantera 1,000 times before I heard Exhorter, and I was like, ooh.
I don't really see the connection.
You don't see it?
No.
Like Cowboys from Hell. Like
me and Kyle were in our first band together.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember when he got an Exhorter, I was like, dude, you made it, man. You know, but I mean, we talk about this all the time. You know, that's like saying, you know, I Hate God doesn't sound like the Melvins. You know,
no.
It's like, come on, you know, that was our inspiration. That and like Old Swans,
yeah,
you know, Black Flag and shit like that was our inspiration to start the band.
Yeah,
you know? So.
Love the Melvins. Another band I saw open for White Zombie, but yeah, they
such a diverse band, man.
They're so good. Like, you know, and one of those bands I kind of dropped off listening to, but I mean, those first few albums, Houdini and
Gluey's my favorite.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, so good. Such a good band. And at the time, I mean, you know, for all the grunge and stuff that was coming out, that was left field, you know.
Yeah.
You know, watching those old videos on, like, you know, I think they even made it onto Headbangers Ball, and or maybe the tail end of like 120 minutes going in Headbangers Ball or something.
I mean, Dale was on Nirvana's mm-hmm. first record, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I even asked Dale that one time if, it's been asked to him if he regrets not taking the Nirvana job, you know, but then band probably would have been a different band.
It would have been a different, I mean, because Dave Grohl obviously added so much to that band.
Great drummer, yeah.
Great drummer and great
talented
singer.
Talented musician, yeah. Exactly.
What's crazy is hearing the Foo Fighters so long, and then you go back and listen to some Nirvana, and then you can actually hear Dave's voice clearly on that old stuff under Kurt's, and you're like, wow, that's what he added to that band, you know, not only insane drummer, but yeah, the
backup harmonies and mm-hmm. shit. Yeah, man.
Very cool. What, speaking of insane singers, I mean, you've been playing lately with some of the best, you know, Phil, obviously, you did the tour with Randy Bly, you know, I mean, what was like the takeaway from maybe doing the I Hate God tour with Randy? Seeing the way he works. I mean, I know you've known him for a long time, but...
Yeah, we've been friends with Randy forever, man. And just like Phil coming in and singing at Guarbecue and then at that show in New Orleans, it's just friends stepping up, helping out friends that need help, man.
Yeah.
You know? Randy was super cool for doing it. Phil was super cool for doing it. And, you know, it was weird touring. With Phil, it wasn't so weird because... I talk and see that dude all the time, you know. But it was cool. Randy came in like a week early.
Yeah.
And stayed at my house, and we hung out and went and ate food and took him around to shoot pictures and stuff. And it was, you know, it was a cool thing, you know. And it had Mike's blessing, so.
Yeah.
That's, as long as that was cool, you know.
Very cool. Yeah, that's, were the crowds like a lot of Lamb of God t-shirts in the crowd for that, or was it just
not really, but I think people gave props to him, you know, that he really did his homework and stuff, you know.
Yeah. So,
you know, I think both guys did a great job, man. Yeah. You know, like back in Mardi Gras a long time ago, Mike was in jail, Seth Putnam sang for us a set, you know. So
that's amazing.
Mike needs to stay out of trouble.
Stay out of the hospital. But yeah, I mean, I remember seeing all those posts about, you know, Mike and his liver transplant, and then finally getting it, and then it being a success. Which, I mean, obviously I'm not a doctor, I don't know the success rate on a liver transplant, but I mean, I'm sure it's not super huge.
His doctor, he texted me one day. He goes, "Man, my doctor's an I Hate God fan." I was like, "Wow." What I thought was really beautiful was all the people that stepped up and donated money.
Yeah.
And didn't judge him.
Yeah.
And supported.
Oh, yeah.
Him getting a transplant. Because, dude, I'll be honest with you, we were like, they don't give transplants to people like Mike.
Right. No, that's the one thing.
You know? And when he got it, we were just, wow, you know? Killer. He's got a second chance, you know?
Yeah, if you ever have to go through a transplant, I'm sure your life views change, and every day is a blessing at that point.
We call it new meat. He's got new meat.
Did they say where the transplant came from?
Oh, we got inside jokes about that too, man. You know, just being stupid,
right?
And shit.
Well, I don't want to get you too much in trouble, but, you know, I don't know.
I don't care. It's an inside joke,
right?
You know?
Well. Inside jokes tend to get people in trouble lately, right?
Yeah.
But
it was just good to, you know, see him texting in humor again.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Being, you know, having a sense of humor back, because he was really, really depressed for a while. Yeah. You know? There's nothing he could do about it, you know?
Yeah. So. Not to, you know, point to something in my life, but my cousin was just deer hunting about a month ago, and he fell asleep in his deer stand and fell out and broke his neck.
Ow.
And when everyone found him, he had been laying there for like 6 hours.
Damn,
overnight,
dude.
Because he was by himself, and, you know, just out in his deer stand on his property, and his stepdad found him and paralyzed the neck down at first, but now he's 25 days into rehab, and
awesome.
he's up walking, you know. I went and visited him not too long ago, and he's got a little bit of strength back in all of his extremities, and, you know, he said that when he first woke up from the surgery, he was getting a bath from four nurses, and he's,
hey man, that would make me fuck. I'd be like, hey.
And he said that his wife was in the other room, and she said all she could hear was him saying, "This has been my dream my whole life, but this is not how I wanted it to happen."
Hey, baby, is this cheating?
It's not cheating, right?
That's not cheating, right?
So.
Yeah, but we don't know what those nurses look like.
Dude. No, I mean, you never know. But, I mean, four nurses, I mean, you got good odds there. You know, and the scrubs always help, too. Something about those nurses' scrubs always enjoy.
Yeah.
So, nurses' scrubs and
angels in blue, man.
What they are. Well, cool, man. Is there anything I missed? Anything else you want to talk about? I mean, I truly have.
We're having a great time on this tour.
Yeah.
Thanks to all our fans for the support of buying the record, and hopefully we can write another kick-ass one and do it again.
Very cool.
And
yeah,
if we ever come back to Louisville, please come check it out, man.
Very cool, man. Well, Jimmy Bauer, thanks for taking the time
today,
sir.
Thank you, bro.
You are listening to Talk To Me.
Philip H. Anselmo here, and you're listening to Talk To Me Podcast. Rock on.
All right, that was Witch Tripper by Down, and that was my interview with Jimmy Bauer. And so let's talk once again to Mike about his interview. When are we going to hear this interview with your interview with Jimmy Bauer, Mike?
Well, for one, whenever I get my my own, you know, new show up and going, since my other ones kind of went away, I got about 5 minutes. Well, six. I got about six minutes after we had to restart the whole thing. Everybody was throwing off their game a little bit, and you know, I start in. He's like, "No, man, let's do this over." And I'm like, "For real?" He's like, not telling me to fucking hit the road.
Right, get the fuck.
And then in the corner of my eye, I look over. I see Kate, their road manager, and you standing there. It just came in, and Sean. All of a sudden, it just hit me. It's like, oh, that's the guy from the opening band. He's been sitting there the whole time. And he's like, I know. I can pretty much know. He's like, this motherfucker's over here. Is fuck this interview up.
No, he walked over and he whispered to us. He's like, he never hit record.
Yeah. No.
And as soon as he said that, I felt so bad. And like, Kate gave me a look. And honestly, I looked at Kate and I was like, I'm fine. I'll wait. You know, I'll wait a few more minutes. I said, Mike's a good dude. And she's like, all right. And so we walked out. So I could have totally thrown you under the bus and been like, hey, oh, man, his time is up.
Oh, man. No, and you know what? Yeah, you're a good dude too, man. And I know how that went. And she's cool. And like, she was totally like asking me about it after. She's like, I hope you got enough. Is there anything, you know what I'm saying? I'm sure they've been through that before, hopefully. But
I highly doubt it.
No, it happens, man. It happens. I've sat in on an interview with, you know, friends of ours from another show with a big name, and I'm the only person that heard that interview. You know what I mean? And Jimmy was like, you could tell he was like, man, what the fuck? But he was like, yeah, we can start over, man. And it just seemed awkward and forced and whatever. But we started in, and then all of a sudden there's a knock on the door, and like one of their, the venue's own security people come in with this guy, this blind guy. And I don't know that, man, I feel bad. I forgot the kid's name, but, I see him at like every show. This kid does not miss the fucking show. I call him a kid. He's probably my age or maybe a little bit younger, but, I see him all the time. I mean, how can you miss him? He's there with his cane and fucking just, you know, he's completely rocking out like every time I see him. And I think some communication got misinterpreted between their security guy and him. And he was like, yeah, this guy's here with the band and he's here with one of you guys. And it's right in the middle of me starting over. I'm like, if this could not get any fucking worse.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
So you have something against blind people is what you just said?
No, absolutely not. Especially not that guy, because he is like as cool as he can be.
Yeah.
But Jimmy stops and turns around. He was like, yeah, yeah. No, he ain't with us. And he was like, well, he says he's with the band. He was like, you know how many other bands are playing tonight? He ain't with us. You know what I mean? And then I think he kind of, he obviously, because he said it before he even turned around. And he's like seeing him. He's like, oh, yeah. No, man, he's not, you know what I mean? It was just fucking awkward. And then finally, when he turns back around, like, I listen to the actual what I do have. And it's just kind of like, I can't use this. I'll just hit him up on Skype later or something.
Right.
And we talked about it and can set it up later. So, hey. Maybe I'll chalk it up as a loss. Maybe, you know, whatever. Come up with something else to talk about. Or I'll catch him at a next down show. So.
No, yeah, you have to take it with what it is, because, you know, I talked about this on the Classic Metal Shows Podcasters Roundtable as my technical snafu was with Biff Byford of Saxon. And, you know, I had called him, and he's in, like, England, and I was having Skype issues with my laptop, and you know, he was like he was trying to do Skype on his cell phone, and then we got Skype on his laptop. I mean, we were just back and forth trying to get it together. And then when I thought it was going well, I was like, all right, let's do the interview. I had 20 minutes with him, and man, he was telling me all these just like, you know, the second Metallica show ever stories, and, you know, hanging out with Lemmy and traveling, touring in the 70s and playing clubs 2 days after the Sex Pistols had been there and they had completely destroyed it and blah, you know, just all this great stuff. And like I said, man, I played it back and it was
just gone.
It was literally, hey, Biff Byford, how you doing? Silence.
And silence.
You know, and then like, you know, what was it like playing with Metallica? Silence. And it was terrible, but it did make me figure out a new way to record interviews. And actually, the interviews actually sound better now. So, you know, the content might not be there, but the interviews sound good.
There you go. And that, you know, this show that we're talking about was, what, 1 week after you did that round table. And that's the first thing that popped in my head. I'm like, I just listened to all these guys talk about horror stories of doing stuff. Well, here's mine.
Right.
You know, I'm just now getting up off the ground and going. Here's my guy I wanted to talk to, like, a lot, you know, more than, you know, well, you know, I wasn't going to get Phil, obviously.
Right.
He's not talking to anybody but Trunk, which that interview is classic, by the way.
Yeah, right.
But no punches pulled. But yeah, man, I'm like, ah, fuck, man. We're just getting up and going. There it goes right there. But
that's what I had to do while you were doing your interview. Actually, you almost, this is something I haven't told you yet. You almost fucked me because while you were redoing your Jimmy Bauer interview, the other guys in Superjoint, like the drummer that I don't, you know, he was like in the Illegals or something.
Blue.
And
yeah.
Kate goes, Blue's available if you want him. And he's standing right there. And I had to be like, I'll wait. And then like Blue kind of kept saying stuff like him and one of the other randos from whatever was, you know, he's like, hey man, you want to do this interview? Like I hear him talking and I'm like, oh fuck. Like, I don't know these people at all. Like, you know,
yeah, not that it's a bad thing, but you don't know any, you know, anything
right.
to ask.
And, yeah, I don't have anything to ask him. And, you know, I'd kind of like, all my questions were for Jimmy. So I wasn't going to sit there and ask Blue I Hate God questions, which, you know, no offense to Blue, actually ended up being a great drummer and all that stuff. But it was just one of those things where like, come on, man, if I asked for Phil, they give me Jimmy. And then if I go to get Jimmy and then I'm like, you know, to the 20-year-old, you know, Superjoy drummer, I'm like, all right, come on, man. Like stop knocking me down the totem pole here.
Oh, well, you got in there and got it. And I went out and had a few beers and drowned in my sorrows.
Right.
I guess.
Drowned my sorrows. Yeah, but no,
yeah,
it's a cool interview. Actually, you know, I had fun.
But, yeah, mine was too, man.
Well, let's finish this up, man, with playing.
Take my word for it.
Yeah, right.
Take mine and Eric's word for
it,
man.
Eric,
it was great.
You should just blame it on Eric for not being the proper producer that he was, you know? He should have been checking for you.
Nah, I was right there with me. He was over on the couch, and it was all on me, man. But he got to hear. We all had a cool talk. We talked about shit. We talked a good 10 minutes before we even started the interview, man. So...
That's nice.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, whatever. It's what it is.
All right. Let's finish this episode out with a couple of songs. And what song would you like to hear, Mike?
Well, we've covered Anthrax, some She, and some Witch Tripper. We might as well do a Superjoint song. I mean, it's the show we went to. And I'd say The Alcoholic.
All right, we'll go Alcoholic into, let me see.
Now, what do you have?
I'm actually going to do Child Bite because I thoroughly
enjoyed it. Oh, yeah.
We'll go Death Before Dementia. That was one I definitely remember from that night. So, all right, first, Mike, we'll play your song, which was?
Superjoint, The Alcoholic.
Into Child Bite's Death Before Dementia. I just want to say thank you guys for listening each and every week. If you want to, make sure and go to your iTunes, leave a review, leave a nice 5-star rating, a nice 5-star review, and I'll read it on an upcoming episode. And if you want to reach out to me, it's talktometalk@gmail.com. If you want to email the show directly, @talktometalk on Twitter or facebook.com/talktometalk. And for the Talk To Me podcast, I am Joshua Toomey.
Hey, Mike. And there's no show tag to me here, but please, if you will, go over to Instagram and check out some of my concert shots or whatnot. I'm trying to get that thing up and going, get some people checking it out. MDG Rock Picks.
All right, Mike, I appreciate you taking the time. And so everyone out there listening, I will talk to you guys next Tuesday with my talk with Haran from Battlecross, breaking down Slayer Seasons in the Abyss. You guys have a great week. Talk to you soon.
See ya.
Bye.
Peace out.
Take it easy.
You're listening to Talk To Me.
From the band Dope, and you are listening to Talk To Me. To Me's his name. It's not Talk To Me. It's Talk To Me, because he's To Me. But you can talk to me.